Also, before the break, we had, I'm sorry that that caller was cut. Is he back? Yes, he is. So let's go to him because I think he was making some very useful points about the service providers for telecommunications. Good afternoon. Welcome back.
Yes, Ms. Sainz. I'm glad that he's back.
I'm sorry that I cut you off. Go ahead.
So I understand. My problem is that I cannot understand why flow. And I made this statement across, and I have no apologies about it. To me, they are doing whatever they like both there and getting away with it. Because that thing would have come, and at a time like this, there's nowhere, I don't believe, I could remember that Digicel had sent out something about their prices increasing, and somebody called and replied, and in two tools, somebody was on the phone explaining that they were thinking about it and it was cut. But here it is now, Flo sent out a letter carrying up lines, $5 a month. And nobody seems to have nowhere to deal with it, because it's a cell phone. I would like to hear somebody as to why that component
has been excluded.
Or permitted to happen still in Barbados. Now, I have a problem from this point of view now with the bank, credit unions, and pension checks. Now, I belong to a credit union, and I used to take my two checks to the credit union and deposit them one time to save me from having to be going up and down the sign each day that these checks are supposed to be changed. Suddenly, the credit union would have stopped taking it. Well, I became very agitated when that happened, because I had now to try to get back to line up to get one change, because the date is now viable as it relates to when I have the two, and they are two different dates. Only to understand quite recently, after venting my agitation, that when if they take the check, that additional check, before the date it is due to be changed, that they will be charged by the bank for taking the check before the date, and therefore they will have to transfer that payment to you. So therefore, to save that extra charge from coming to you, they can't take the two checks now as they were doing before. I believe that that is something that needs to be looked into. And if that is the case, instead of sending the two checks, one now and one for the next 2 weeks, send the one check for the 2 months, for the 2 weeks, for one course, and then. No, the next thing is...
That may have something to do with their internal systems, though. But go ahead.
We have a lot of things. We are talking about the senior citizens, and we got a lot of things that cause stress to that nobody is looking at. Now, here it is now, I already have the things from my credit union that I could change to the online banking, and so as you said, and as you would have said there in an article that somebody would have said about their pension, not their thing has not yet transferred to the bank. Now, I had the opportunity of staying in the credit union. I had people coming and asking if the money transfer, and they were told no. And then they were saying, why you ain't up at National Insurance Center there? I think if we are doing these things, we need to have them done in a way that they will be carried out when the time has come that the thing would be, that it would be in place and not causing people stress in the end because of they not doing. And that is why I have not transferred money yet to that element and let it remain in the check. So all these are things that we need to look into. And at the same time, and by the same token, what you was relying to at the polyclinic and the chair and the you're getting the vaccination and all that. That's what I can tell you. I am a senior citizen. I went to the polyclinic last thing I may have go. I can't even get nobody to understand even though I would like to discuss the issue with the vaccination. I would like to see what you think, but I think that we need to get these things right because talk does not evaluate and equate to everything. Understanding and approach and all these things is what we need now at this time. Not saying one thing here, and then you get here to something else, and then you're on there to something else, and then you go wrong like a talk, spinning talk in mud. And at the same time, the people who is saying is looking is made to look a certain way because the people who supports to administrate and carry it out do not clearly understand what they're supposed to do. Thank you.
Thank you as well. It sounds as if we have a lot of work to do with many of our processes. And I think everybody knows this. It's just a matter of doing it. It is a big job. Thank you for that call. Let's take another. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Christina Hines.
Good afternoon to you.
It's a pleasure speaking to you, and I like your style.
Well, thank you.
My name is Miss P. I'm a regular caller. And I would just like to, something that keeps bothering me, I don't know why, but, you know, are people being tested for COVID-19 prior to receiving the vaccination, considering the fact that some people are asymptomatic, and we were told by the doctors that even after you've been diagnosed with COVID-19, you ought to wait a month before you're vaccinated.
Well, I could say to you that from those who I have spoken to, nobody was tested before receiving the vaccine. Not with a rapid test, and certainly not with a PCR. So I think the easy answer to that is that they're not being tested.
Because I'm wondering what kind of an effect it could have on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having the test, having the vaccination prior to being tested. I'm just curious if you have to wait at least a month after a person's been.
Is the reason that they want people to wait a month so that their immune systems are not already weakened? And therefore, they would not see some significant side effects from the vaccine. So I don't think it is that if you've had COVID, you can't have the vaccine, but they want some distance between you having been infected with COVID-19 and taking the vaccination because they don't want to overwhelm your immune system. I'm speaking subject to correction, as I am not a medical practitioner.
Okay, I understand. But if you look at it the reverse, it could have the same effect on them if they're asymptomatic and they have the vaccination because their system is already weak. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
I find that very confusing, and I wish one of the doctors would come out and explain that to us. These are the questions that I really wish our media practitioners would ask when we have these TV whatever they are.
Press conferences,
You know, updates. I really wish they'd ask that question. My next one is I'd like to make a suggestion, Christina. A lot of people in my area, they did not receive care packages. They saw the trucks going up by Eden Lodge, but they never stopped in the area. Finally, I got through to the number they gave me. Some of them gave me their national ID numbers and their names so that they could check, you know, to see when the truck is coming. But I think that who's ever in charge of distributing the food should at least come on the airways or on social media and tell them the, not the exact time, but the exact day that they will be in their areas. It would make it, you know, because some people, they just have like $20. Someone gave them $20 to go buy food, and they need to know how to stretch that $20 until that care package arrives. And I know people in my area that are in that position. You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand. And there are a lot of people who have raised some concerns over access to the care packages who have been waiting. They see the trucks going into one neighboring district, and they've noted that they haven't come into theirs. And there are people in those areas who, as you said, require some assistance. So
okay,
I hope that,
one more thing.
I hope that you're heard. Yes, go ahead.
I need to ask you a big favor, Dr. Christina.
Well, let's see. Go ahead.
I would like you to give my man, my Dennis Johnson, the love of my life, a virtual hug and a kiss for me. Because you're a younger tell me.
No, I am not getting involved in that. I don't want to get between the two of you all. So he will take it virtually via the telephone. And I thank you for that. He's smiling. I can tell you he's smiling from ear to ear. We're not in the same space, but I can see him via video. So he accepts. I'm saying on his behalf that he accepts and he's happy. So thank you for that call. We are just about to go to the news. Do we have time for one more call? Yes, let's take one. Good afternoon.
So, am I on?
You are.
Oh, yeah. Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Haynes. Just a quick one. No, this is for the caller prior to the one who just called. I'm saying if he has not transferred from the checks, from getting the monthly checks to the direct deposit, I would urge him, do not make the conversion. Why?
Uh-huh.
Because you will lose what National Insurance is doing. Let's say you're getting $500 every 2 weeks. Okay? It would mean, therefore, you would get that for 26 weeks in a year. So, therefore, you get $13,000. However, what National Insurance is doing, they would take the $500 and they would write you a check for $1,000, okay, and deposit that to your account. As a result, you'll get $12,000 for the year, which means you will lose $1,000 every year if you get the direct deposit. So I'm urging everyone, if they're getting the checks, the weekly, the bi-monthly checks, do not convert to the direct deposit until National Insurance gets its act together. You will lose. You will lose.
And you're certain that they're losing
every year.
You're certain that they're not adjusting the payments to make sure that everybody gets what they're supposed to.
It has happened to me, so I know.
That's unfortunate.
They make no allowances for the extra 2 weeks. They do not. So I'm saying, until they get that right, do not convert to direct deposit. You will lose. And there are plenty of people who do it, but it's just that they might not recognize it. But I know, because I'm, you know, it has happened to me. Okay? So I just want to tell that guy, you know, collect your checks, get them changed at the bank or wherever, but do not make all that form for the direct deposit. You will lose 2 weeks every year, as it is now. Okay?
Thank you. I would love to get some confirmation as to if this is the case and why it would be happening. But let's see what happens. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Dr. Christina Hines, and I will be with you until 2 this afternoon. It's 1:45, so we are on the final stretch. The numbers to call are 434-1790. And via WhatsApp, you can send us messages at 266-4862. Now, during the break, I had several messages via the WhatsApp with individuals noting that with respect to the last caller we had, they have not noticed any decline in payments from using a direct deposit. Indeed, they get 13 payments a year. They generally receive 2 payments in 1 month so that they do not experience any loss, and that this month is generally July. I know the National Insurance wanted to reach out to us and make a comment on this. Have we been able to reach them? We haven't been able to reach them at this point, but I have had confirmation also from someone inside of the National Insurance that people will not lose by using direct deposit. There is also another thing that I would like to present to you. This is from Ambassador Thompson. And this is with respect to some of the earlier callers and discussions about people waiting a long time to be transported to Harrison Point or whichever facility they're supposed to go to, either because they are awaiting COVID test results or they have tested positive. And I'll read it verbatim. It says, "Good afternoon. In relation to the discussion on people waiting for transport, this function has been carried out by the BDF. It can only be done in specially sealed vehicles by persons who are trained. There is a limited number of such vehicles and personnel. Each trip takes time, and I believe also includes the sanitization of vehicles. As the number of positive cases rose, there was some lag between diagnosis and pickup. In addition, it is known that some Defense Force personnel and police officers have themselves become ill. Others are engaged in care package delivery and other critical support functions, all of which impact transportation. These pickups are done every day and including at night." So that is just some information for people who are concerned about the length of time it's taking to be transported to the facilities that are dealing with COVID-19. I don't know if that offers reassurance, but that is the reason that has been given. There are some other things that I wanted to talk about too. I wanted to bring us back to education as well. There were some calls earlier about education, about the access to devices, about the extent to which teachers have been trained too late or perhaps in a manner that is a little reactive and ad hoc. And I would like to say that this is a very difficult period for teachers as well. It's a difficult period for everybody. We know that the frontline workers are working at full tilt, and this is not easy. But shifting your way of working to this remote and online situation can pose some difficulties. I don't think that any of us can control for some of the things that happen inside of our homes during online teaching. And making that transition to teaching from your home can be quite tricky. Also, trying to keep children engaged, even adult learners engaged online, can be difficult. And I'll just share from my personal experience, teaching new students at the university, I have found to be a little bit challenging because I don't know what they look like. And we want people to have their cameras on so that we can see who they are, but this is not always something that is feasible. It doesn't always work because of people's home situations. Perhaps it's their device as well. So the social distance actually does have social implications, and teaching can be a very social process where you would want to form some kind of connections with those you are teaching. Just a thought from my perspective. I also want to say that I think that there are other things about education that go beyond the curriculum. And I know there is a lot of concern out there about children falling behind. And I often wonder what or who are they falling behind, because everybody is in this situation at the same time. I know that we are perhaps in a quite competitive environment where there's some kind of race that, you know, there's a finish line that people apparently have to reach by age 16 or 18. I don't think that is the case necessarily. People can get to where they need to be at different stages. And I don't think we need to put so much pressure on those who are teaching and learning in this online situation. Yes, we still want them to learn, but we have to recognize the situation that we're in and also think about the other things that people can learn in this environment, such as thinking for themselves, being independent. Anyway, I've spoken a lot. Let's go to the phone lines and hear what others have to say. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome to the program.
Yes, am I on?
You are on.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon to you, ma'am, and management and staff and listeners. As far as monkeys are concerned, I have been hearing complaints about monkeys, but right now, I think that another nuisance is termites and wood ants, because there's no way that monkeys could be as destructive, in my opinion, ma'am, as termites and wood ants, because right here home where you live now, the back of the back bedroom there, all the floor collapsed, because part of the floor collapsed, because all underneath the house, the rafters and things have been eaten away. Nobody would believe that something that is so little, almost like the size of a grain of sand, could be so destructive. You know, so I agree that monkeys are destructive. Yes, I agree. But those things, when it comes to wood ants and things, it can't compare to that there, you know. And secondly, what I would like to say quickly, right now, I don't think monkeys is our issue. This COVID-19, we should be praying and hoping that sooner rather than later that the barbarians and the rest of the world get rid of this thing, because it has turned the whole world upside down. Upside down. I mean, right now, children, when is the last time you saw school children in their school clothes going to school or coming from school? A lot of people now have been out of work. You know, you can't go and hug nobody and talk like before. This thing has changed the world. So I don't know why people confusing themselves about this monkey thing. For that is not all of that important right now. Right now, it is this disease that has humbugged the world, and it seems to be going anywhere. And my last point, ma'am, is that their move removed Lord Nelson. That was a waste of time, because right now, Lord Nelson ain't got to be wearing a mask. He ain't got to get sanitized or nothing. We came and find him. We didn't die and leave him. I don't see why people was confusing themselves about that there. Foolishness. This COVID-19 and then this gun problem that both the place is issues that we want to get rid of, because every minute somebody got a gun coming from nowhere, gunning down somebody and running. These are things that is annoying. I think it's time for people to stop confusing themselves about this monkey thing. This COVID and this COVID, that is the number one thing that humbugging people that the world wants to get rid of, and these guns that are all over the world. Thank you, ma'am. Yes.
Thank you. I think, yes. Although I see your point, and we know the significance of the COVID-19 pandemic, there are other people who are affected by the monkeys and who are facing threats to their livelihoods. So the same way that COVID-19 poses threats to people's livelihoods, they are experiencing threats to theirs via monkeys. So I wouldn't want to belittle their concerns, but you know, people have different priorities based on what their experiences are. But I thank you for your perspective. And I would like now to read a statement from the National Insurance. We've now received it. It says, the NIS pays its pensioners every 4 weeks, not monthly. The payments are issued for 13 four-week periods each year for those paid by lodgement to the banks and credit unions, or 26 two-week periods for those receiving checks through the mail. The NIS urges its pensioners who already have bank and credit union accounts to make the switch from checks to lodgement and gain immediate access to all in capital letters, your monies. There is no penalty for switching. So that is a statement from the NAS. They are telling you that you will not lose by switching and encouraging you to do so. Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
That's me.
Yes. Article you read from the Times, I believe, a few minutes ago, is certainly very, very good news. We welcome that, and we hope it can be pursued with vigor. Because I, too, want to speak very briefly on monkeys. Some issues, I believe, that are being left unsaid. I don't know why. Monkeys are pure destruction. I think we need to understand that. Our average society does not understand the plight of the farmer when he's faced with monkeys. They not only fill their stomachs, but they come around, and even after their stomachs are filled, they will bite and just leave them on the ground or shake down the others out of the tree or some other destructive action. They take.
So they're just being mischievous. It's not even to feed themselves alone.
That's right. And they're just destructive. Look, right now in my area, the pattern of bird reproduction has been changed by the monkeys. I've never heard anybody said that monkeys destroyed every bird nest they can find. And they eat the eggs. And certainly, this is not a very good thing, because you have the birds then are reduced. When I came here, I had as many as 15 doves that I fed in my front yard. I love to see them eat on mornings. I now have only two because of monkeys. They just destroy their nests and leave the birds without a home, leave them roaming. That is really ridiculous, I think. A lot of people don't understand that monkeys will bother your female animals. Mm-hmm. And that is true, because that is something that I have observed over the years. So you will, once they get access to your animal, your female animals, and I'm talking about any animal, they will bother them.
Mm.
And that, again, is not desirable.
No, it isn't.
And we're at this stage where we're not choosing our food. We're taking what the monkeys leave, because the monkeys are there. I'm into trees. The monkeys can get to the very top of the trees. They can eat. Right now I have a few very small mangoes, and the monkeys are just picking the mangoes, biting them two or three times, dropping them on the ground. And you have to prune your trees on a yearly basis. You have to give manure, etc., etc. You have to cure them. And then you get nothing, because you have pests just roving the place. I certainly hope, like I said earlier, that this new avenue is pursued with vigor, and we can get some sort of relief from these awesome pests, because we need to have something done about the monkeys. There are much too many now. They're too many. They're too many 100 times over. We need to start getting rid of some of them.
Yes.
I thank you very much.
Thank you, too. I really do understand people's concerns about monkeys. I was talking to a little girl, not in Barbados, a family friend of mine via, I can't remember, one of these things, Skype or something. And she was telling me about her toy. It was a hippopotamus. And she started to tell me about the biggest pest that the hippos and its friends face. And she said, humans. And this child, who was about 7 years old, went on to tell me about all of the threats that humans pose to animals and to the planet, and that we take up things and use them and waste them. We're not just using them because we need them. We are using them because they give us pleasure, because it is fun, and then we toss the things and dispose of them. I wonder if we are acting like the same pests that we are also complaining about with the planet. This is a little child, a seven-year-old, who was telling me about the extinction of animals and climate change, and she was really not too pleased with her own species. And that's us, human beings. Just a thought that came to mind when thinking about, you know, the monkeys. They do cause problems for us, but let's not believe that we are not causing some significant problems for ourselves, for other species on this planet, and for the planet in general. But that's just my view.